Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here, 105.3 The Fan. Micah Parsons is going to have a Cowboys press conference here coming to you in just a minute. He's in town. Yeah, they sent the Cowboys bus over there to the airport, picked him up. They got him up there at the Star in Frisco, and they'll be approaching the podium in, you know, just a few minutes, and we'll take you there live right here on your home of the Cowboys. I'm Gavin Dawson here, 75 and Fitzhugh, along with Lucius Alexander. He's over there in the Pimp Cup. Jeff and Brian are up at the Star. They're going to be broadcasting there all afternoon here over the next 3 hours. Then they'll slide on over for streaming at 105throughthefan.com, and the Odyssey app is how you can enjoy the draft all evening. Gentlemen, who are the players you would be most excited about the Cowboys possibly taking at 44 now?
You know, it is a very long list, as Brian kind of walked you through some of his best players available. And if you want to try to filter into just the positions that you think it's likely they take, I'm going to throw out a wild card, actually. And I have no idea if they're interested, but when I just look at my best guys available, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah might be a long shot because, as we said, medical stuff up in the air. Azeez Ojulari, pass rusher out of Georgia, might have some minor medical stuff. So my next best player, you tell me if you're okay with this. It's Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State. He was their right tackle. And when I tell you, this dude is a bully. Like, he just beats people up. And some people think he might be a guard.
Yeah.
So we have another guy who is, maybe he's a tackle, maybe he's a guard, maybe he steps in and starts for you at left guard, but he can play tackle later if he needs to, and he's a really good player. I don't know, because the tough part is you're going to have – I'm always bad at the math. If you count 32, 33, 34, we got, what, like 12 guys that are come off the board before the Cowboys? And it's very possible that he's one of them. But can I interest you in Tevin Jenkins, Oklahoma State, mauling people?
You know what? He was a name that I actually skipped over because I'm thinking, you know what?
You're thinking about corners.
I'm thinking about corners. I'm just trying to gauge where they were going to go right there. But yeah, I mean, to me, it's one of those things. Like last night, I wish you would have addressed it last night. You know, I mean, because to me, you could have got my ninth best player instead of my 30th best player. You know, I mean, you had a chance to, if you're telling me, hey, I'm going to go out and get one of the
Parsons at 30? Is that who you're talking about?
No. I'm talking about Jenkins. I had Parsons at 16.
Okay. Right.
So, but I'm talking about, you had a chance. I had the Northwestern guard tackle at 9. So I was thinking, man, that's kind of where I wanted to go with him. But, you know, it didn't work out. Go ahead, Jerome. I'm sorry.
Isn't corner the biggest need right now? Like, after not getting one at 10, how much more gravity is that need feeling right now as we go into round two?
I think you feel it a lot, and I think that's why Brian was bringing up certain names a segment ago. And it's interesting because you do want to factor in what you think the Cowboys might really do. And I don't think they would really take either one of my two best corners left, Kelvin Joseph, because you have the coachability concerns, and then Asante Samuel Jr. because he's 5'10".
That's the problem I've got.
So now your problem is you got to kind of start skipping down a few names and say, okay, but where's the first one that doesn't have questions, that's tall and long?
Yeah.
And that's, I think, how you end up at somebody like Paulson Adebo at Stanford, Mel Afonwu at Syracuse, Tyson Campbell at Georgia. So I think we're trying
Robinson from...
Is he a slot only? Would they do that? That's the Central Florida corner.
Man, he is a good player, though, too. And like you say, you could watch him and Grant. I mean, if you told me I could get him and Grant, both those kids from Central Florida in these next couple of picks, I'd be super happy. I just don't know if they would do it. You know, and that's why I think... Campbell's a possibility. You mentioned Mel Afonwu, Adebo. I think those are the guys that we're probably more looking at right now.
We're looking for taller dudes that can scoot, Gavin.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So we got some smaller guys we might like better, but to try to give you the right names on the home of the Cowboys, we got to skip down a couple and give you the tall fellas.
And then in the second round, if we're looking for the right name, it could be a boomer bust guy that they want to look at. I mean, historically, that's about the case half the time. Is there a risky pick in here that you think makes sense for needs as well?
You know what? I'll give you one. Christian Barmore.
That's it. Boy, Jeff, you're right on this game today.
He's the hand-holding guy?
He's a hand-holder. Yeah, Alabama does a great job of like a support staff that makes sure that all their kids get to class and get to meetings and all that. Barmore requires a little bit more of an entourage, let's say. That's how it was described to me.
Hmm. Gavin, can I throw you a wild card? Can I throw you a curveball?
Yeah, let's go.
What if I said, how about my 19th best non-quarterback? I don't think he'll make it. Ole Miss wide receiver Elijah Moore. He's a 4-3 guy.
Let's go.
He plays in the slot. He's a good route runner. He actually averaged more yards per game than the Heisman Trophy winner, DeVonta Smith, in the SEC. Can I interest you in a wide receiver if he makes it?
You could, brother. Yeah. Okay. I mean, I enjoy that kind of stuff, you know, and I'm really interested in giving Kellen Moore and Dak the opportunity to sort of redefine or reimagine the way that you run offense and, you know, drawing up some new rules.
Let me throw you one more wild card then while we're doing the wild card segment.
We are doing a wild card segment right now.
Brian?
Sure. Go ahead.
Could I interest you in Alabama center Landon Dickerson at 44?
Yeah, he is my. When I look at those offensive linemen, Jeff, you start talking about Jenkins from Oklahoma State, Mayfield from Michigan, Dickerson. Now, I'd have to reach out to some teams about that because
I mean, he's only had every college season he's ever played have a season-ending injury, but outside of that, he's great.
He is a great player, but he will maul you. He's a big, physical center, guard. I mean, tough, really, really tough guy. But he's being held together with, like, Gorilla Tape and baling wire.
Flex Seal.
He's got some Flex Seal down there somewhere. So, yeah. But he is worth talking about for sure.
Gavin, do you or Lucius know, can you use Flex Seal to close a wound? Like, if you have an open
temporarily,
wound?
Temporarily, yeah.
Yeah? You can Flex Seal that?
Yeah, I think so. You know,
okay. I'm pretty sure, man.
Okay. All right.
You know, it'd be better than the alternative, which would be bleeding out right there on the battlefield.
I've seen Gorilla Glue. The Gorilla Glue used, I've seen that before.
Yeah. Will it heal right? Or
no,
is it...
heck no.
You're probably going to get an infection.
You might want to put some spit on it first and then do it. Okay. You might got a chance. Yeah.
We're guaranteed an amputation there.
If
probably,
I just shove some Neosporin into a gaping wound and then Flex Seal it.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe have your dog lick it first then.
Yes.
You might have a chance.
It's worth a shot if you don't have a tourniquet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So Gavin, we're throwing out a lot of different names at a lot of different positions, and I think to me what it means overall is it's great to have four picks tonight.
Oh, this is so much fun.
Right. Yeah. We're going to throw so many names at you, and I don't mean to bombard anybody with names, but just know. Hey,
as long as you give the position along with it, I think people can easily wrap their head around what a second round pick at this position or that position is going to be, you know, and how much that this football team could use that.
What if at 420 I just rapid fire through 150 names, only last name, no first name, no school, no position, and just be like, keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
Keep an eye on that.
I think I could track pretty good on about 40 or 50% of them, but I have been spending 5 hours a day with you boys for the last 5 months. So, you know, I'm not sure. Is there any way they would take another linebacker in the whole remainder of the draft? Is that room now chock full? Are you looking for depth? What do you say there?
I think you have to look at a linebacker. The problem you're running into is like, okay, where? And I mentioned the kid, the Barnes kid from Purdue yesterday, as a guy that, you know, when you're 6 foot, you're 238 pounds, I kind of have a fourth, fifth round type of a guy. But he, I mean, you watch Purdue play. He makes every single tackle. Like Parsons With Micah Parsons, I'm like going, okay, make a play, make a play, make a play. With Barnes, I'm like, oh, there's a play, there's a play. There's, I mean, it's like him, that Bolton, those guys, they make every single tackle. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if some point in time that they add one of these down the line type of linebackers. I'd kind of like to see him, and I don't know if it's going to happen. Third round, that I'll mention Davis Mills, the quarterback from Stanford.
Easy now.
Wow, that could get real interesting.
And come on, man, just give me that pick at 99. That's my golden ticket right there. Just you could have all those defensive guys you want. Just let me take this quarterback from Stanford at 99, and I would be real happy with you.
Now, what about this center that Jeff mentioned?
Oh, he's a really good player.
Do they need an upgrade there? Wasn't Biotish kind of promising as a rook?
I think if you think a guy can play center and guard, then you got a chance to pick him.
Yeah, the competition is going to be at guard with our guy McGovern.
Connors.
Yeah, the Connors going at it. So but Dickerson's a good football player. He's just really beat up.
The offensive line thing, all the Alabama guys are beat up.
Really beat up.
He's just beat up even more. They must practice against each other really hard.
Oh, the practices are brutal.
but the offensive line thing is the one that I really wonder about, where everybody was talking about a possibility in the first round, and will they take one somewhere? But I wonder if they just take none. I wonder if they just say
they're going to take a tackle. That quarterback I'm begging for at 99, they're going to take a tackle at 99.
I just wonder if maybe they look at it and they're like, we brought in a new swing tackle from Washington. We've got Steele and Knight and the two Connors and Biotish. Like, maybe we're okay.
Yeah, just put that film on last year when you were playing with those guys you just mentioned and see how that was going for you.
Well, they didn't care enough to pick our guy in the first round.
They didn't care about him enough at all.
Brian, you were telling us some of the folks over there thought this was the next Zach Martin at Rashawn Slater.
They took
a linebacker who's like a blitzing, run-stopping linebacker. Can't even cover that well right now. I don't know. I wonder if we're starting to see them spend less assets at offensive line, and last night was a harbinger of that.
Yeah, nice word, harbinger. Yeah,
I'm not sure I used it properly.
I might use it tonight in the draft. Just get ready. Okay.
I'll be rolling tape. I'll tell you what, last night, my favorite part, you're talking with Parsons. Uh-huh. And Brian said, okay, you tell me you're a wrestler, I'm going to pick you in the first round. And he goes, okay, I'm a wrestler. It was amazing. But I think we talked about that just a month or so ago relative to your old buddy, is it Tim Crumry?
Yeah, Tim Crumry. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, if Parsons,
he was a coach who would just wrestle kids.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy. Remember I told you he was the coach who would take his shirt off and he'd like have like the slacks on or jeans. And he's like, okay, let's grapple. And
like a pro wrestler.
He would make the people quit.
Like in a pro day?
Yes. Like they're like, hi, I'm Tim Crumry. Hey, coach, nice to meet you. Okay, we're going to wrestle here for a minute.
Greco-Roman.
And he would, and it's like he would hunker down, like without the ear flaps, though. You know, those ear things that they wear. I mean, just hunker down and do that, and he'd make kids quit.
That's a great way to scout, you know, if you've got the physical ability, coach. Like, hey, you guys, everybody else is just going to get the times they get on the shuttles. I'm going to wrestle this kid. I'll let you know.
No, Crumry probably went back to the Bengals and was like, yeah, well, hey, Tim, how'd you wrestle with that guy? Oh, well, my top seven that I had,
We don't want this guy.
Yeah, we don't want this guy. Made him quit in the first 35 seconds, slapped him upside the head. He wanted nothing part of it. Yeah.
It was a great conversation, though, because what Parsons was in the process of explaining is all this stuff is kind of raw and natural ability, and he just kind of reads where the athlete across from him is leaning or looking, and he kind of instinctually understands how to get people off balance or throw them out of the way.
Well, Jeff, when you saying about him when your evaluation, you thought he was a little bit of a guesser?
Yeah, I think
that's what you're talking about when you really don't understand it. That now, because when he said that last time, I'm like, damn, Jeff was right about that. He was a guesser there, a little bit of a guesser. So
yeah, I think you can watch him play against Ohio State, and I think they knew this guy's just aggressively chasing the first thing he sees. And so, was it Bill Parcells who said, "Don't take the cheese"?
Don't take the cheese.
Ohio State gave Parsons cheese, and he went chasing it. He's a good player, man.
He's a really good player. He is a good player.
When you're listing strength and weaknesses, I'm just listing the weaknesses. I'm not telling you that he's not a good player. He's as impactful a linebacker as there was in college football while he was playing. I'm just saying that his big opportunity is the room for growth. Because where he is a guy that on just natural ability had 100 tackles and 14 tackles for loss and 5 sacks and 4 forced fumbles. Like, that was just off of go chase the ball.
Just go be a football player.
Yeah. So, you know, you talk about what you could turn into. What Parsons could turn into is incredible.
Yeah.
Because what he is now is already good.
Yeah, and I really like the answer of, you know, when you talk to him about what he did in the off time since he didn't play, he said, you know, just getting out there and doing a lot of field work. And I think what I heard is working on techniques with position coaches.
He did. He said that. He absolutely said that. So, yeah, and hopefully, like I said, I'd like to see him come in here. I do worry about initially is how do they get him on the field? Does this mean they're going to move Jalen Smith to like a Sam linebacker and plug this guy into Will linebacker? Hey, we've got some OTAs, mini camps. Hopefully they'll let us come out here and watch a couple of them before we have our show and we'll be able to line these cats up.
We got new coaches showing up, and they weren't around for the drafting of Jalen Smith and the buying into the storyline. And they're going to show up and look at the film and be like, what are we doing here? Yeah. Why aren't we post-June wanting this guy?
I think that's Dan's going to walk in there. And,
yeah. What are we doing?
This number 54. Who is this guy?
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? It sucks because it was a great story when he was a guy who was fighting back to do something nobody had ever done. And
right.
he was part of your defensive rotation.
He made it. Yeah.
Once you paid him and played him all the time and it got exposed, it took that away from us as fans and made him a point of frustration. We got to run. We're back with the Micah Parsons press conference here on 105 Through the Fan. All right. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Let's go up to the star. The Micah Parsons press conference is now on the Fan. Oh, Micah Parsons press conference in just a second right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. They're getting ready to chat up there. Mike Fisher is going to join us on the other side for a recap of everything. Let's head up there.
But would you introduce your family to us and do the best job to them?
Yes. The guy in the purple, that's my adopted brother, Deron Jennings. Right there is my father, Terrence Parsons Sr. Terrence Parsons Jr., my oldest brother, Sharice Parsons, my mother, and Shatara Parsons, my sister.
And Malcolm.
And Malcolm, my son.
Well, seriously, we, of course, wanted Micah to get to visit with you guys, and you guys in particular get to visit with him. And but it was all conditional upon if we could get this thing done, get him back. Get over there tomorrow to celebrate his third birthday. So we got to make sure that we get that done here. But we talked last night about our selection of Micah with our first-round pick. We've all had a chance to feel it and sleep on it. Felt good. Slept like a baby. I did on a personal basis. But excited. Coach, before Micah speaks here, I'd like to hear your thoughts about anything overnight that in thinking about him joining our team.
Well, definitely. Actually, Mike has had a chance to meet with Coach Dan Quinn and George Edwards and Scott McCurley. So just to get familiar with, you know, our direction as a defense and how he fits in. So, you know, just as we talked about last night, he's a multi-positional player. He can play off the ball, on the ball, pressure player, and not only is a great fit for our defense, but he's an excellent football player that's a great fit for our whole team and what he brings to the table.
Steven, any?
No, I'm great. I think you covered it. And congratulations, Micah. And
thank you.
Your son over here is ready to come see you.
Which one, your daddy or your mama? Where'd you get that speed? That size?
I would say neither.
From the good Lord.
He was a below average basketball player. And she was a very below average track player, so it's all God.
Hey. There you go. Well, there's another below average whatever here. This one is happy you're with the Dallas Cowboys, and you've introduced your family, and I've let our guys get to know you a little better and comment about your background and your future here.
Coach, or Jerry or Steven, what was it about that one Zoom conversation with him that stood out for you guys? Obviously, you guys had a lot more conversations with some of the other guys, but what was it about that you felt comfortable enough taking him aside from the tape?
Go ahead, Mike. I actually wasn't on the Zoom, so I can't really.
Well, his determination was evident, and you'll see it here in just a minute. And I was getting it last night in a lot of ways, but this guy's been gifted, but has a powerful personality to overachieve or get ready to play. Those combinations of things were what caused us to basically really take advantage of him being there.
Micah, how tough was it to opt out of 2020, and how much do you feel like you're sort of making up for lost time?
It was a very tough decision. I had to sit down with my family multiple times, and a lot of mentors that I met throughout my process, like LeVar and Navarro, past linebackers that came through the NFL. And, you know, I don't think I'm making up time. I think I'm right on time. I'm right where I need to be. And, you know, as soon as I get here, we're going to get right to work and become a better football team.
How do you feel you're a different player today than you were when you were last on the field in 2019 based on the work that you put in while opting out?
You know, I'm more in shape, better fit, you know, moving better on the field, working a lot on my field work and footwork. So, you know, once I get here, I look to show me doing a lot better in space.
Mike, you mentioned on our call last night that you were excited to talk to these coaches, see what they envisioned for you. What were those initial conversations like with Dan Quinn?
It was very interesting. He was talking about all the things he liked on my tape, how he's going to send me on a lot of blitzes, and how he's going to have me man a lot of backs and tight ends, and how I'm going to match up well with a bunch of good running backs in our division. So I'm really excited to do that for him and compete at a high level.
Mike, what's this last 18 to 24 hours been like for you?
I don't know. Think if you were 21 and you just met Jerry Jones. It's pretty freaking awesome, I would say, you know.
Hey, just talk about your dad said, you know, obviously he's a grew up a Cowboy fan, always been a Cowboy fan, raised as a Cowboy fan. What's that been like in growing up a Cowboy fan in Pennsylvania and then having this dream come true?
You know, it's awesome. Like, I think, like, we all really just taken in. Like, I don't think none of us really sat down and was like, yo, this is crazy. Like, we never really, like, all talked. But I could tell by his facial expressions and my mom's expression, pretty priceless, I would say. And, you know, to be here and, you know, play for Jerry and play for Coach Mike is going to be an extraordinary honor for all of us. And, you know, we're happy to be here.
Mike, what are your impressions of this practice facility, the Star? What were your thoughts as you were seeing everything that it presents? And does it feel like home already?
You know, I was going to make this home regardless. I think it was going to be forced upon them. They was going to know. But, you know, yeah, it does feel like home. I've been here when I was at the opening and when I played here in the Memphis Bowl. And I said, this is where I want to be, you know. I wanted to play here. I wanted to be in this blue and white until I die. So it felt like home when I was here for the Memphis game. And it felt like home when I was here for the opening. And then when I came back through the halls, it felt like home again. So it's not my first time here and sure won't be my last time. So really excited. It started when I was in high school, when I was getting ready to commit to Penn State. He was the first person to, like, really reach out and believe in my talents and saw that I could be a special player. So ever since then, he took me under his wing and really molded me as, like, a person.
Some of your family members said a lot of the Parsons clan is going to be moving down here as well, not just you. What would that be like if you've got your whole family down here and supporting you?
Support, great. You know, brother, sister, love, hate, you know. I got to make sure no one has my address.
Your phone number.
Yeah. I'll text them. We'll meet at a local restaurant for sure.
Michael, you said yesterday that you think that you're going to be going against one of the best offenses in the league in practice. So I was kind of wondering, how much have you watched the Cowboys over the last few years to know that they have a loaded offense and things like that?
I mean, I thought they were – I mean, personally, I used them in Madden quite often. So I know the type of talent they got with, you know, Amari Cooper. Then when they added CeeDee Lamb last year, extremely loaded. And before Dak got hurt, their offense was moving great. And, you know, I think they're only going to keep getting better with how much talent they have. So when I got a chance to go against these guys, it's going to be a great opportunity. I think I'm going to go have it's going to be harder in practice in some games, you know, so it's going to be very interesting.
Mike, have you and a lot of guys reached out on Twitter, Instagram, whatever? Have you heard from any of the veterans?
Yeah, I heard from Dak. You know, he's one of the first people to reach out. You know, I could tell he's already a big leader in DeMarcus and Trayvon Diggs, and, you know, Zeke said something funny too. So, you know, I kind of see the bond these guys have in the locker room, and I'm looking forward to, like, meeting them all.
What do you do best? What do you think you do best? I mean, they talk about your ability to rush, but what do you like to do best? What do you think you do best?
Just play football, man. I feel like I'm just instinctual, and you know, I play with a lot of effort. I think that's what I do best. You know, I'm always trying to get to the ball. I'm like a ball hawk, I would say. You know, see ball, get ball. You know, water boy type.
See ball, get ball.
Mike, how much do you pride yourself in your versatility? You mentioned you cover the running backs and rushing the passer. I mean, you can do both aspects of that. How much do you pride yourself in that, in good
both things? I would say I pride myself a great amount. You know, I feel like that's the reason why they selected me. I don't think you could be one-dimensional in this league now today with how many good backs there are that can – receiving backs and, you know, tight ends that are going out into the slot. So, you know, I think me being versatile could have me here for a long time.
What kind of leader are you? Are you someone who sets a tone in the film room, the weight room? Are you vocal, more quiet by example? You don't seem very quiet right now, but what?
My personality is not quiet, but I'm quiet, you know, if that makes sense. I would say, you know, in the locker room, I'm more quiet and just lead by example, really. Like, just really just work. You know, I don't really talk a lot on the field either. I'm kind of just like a silent, I don't want to say the word, but you get it.
Mike, how has your son Malcolm impacted the person you've become the last few years?
I feel like he has a tremendous impact on a man, you know, that I'm matured into. You know, I think we do this all for our kids, and we do this all to change our family's lives. And, you know, I did it for him and my family to change our lives. And, you know, I knew how to mature and become a better father and a better player every day and every year. So, you know, I feel like he had a great impact on who I'm becoming and still continue to becoming.
Reaching this level, I'm sure, has been a goal of yours for quite some time. Now that you're here, what are you aspiring to? What do you want to achieve next?
You know, I want to achieve all great things. I'm not going to set the goal small. You know, I want to be a big-time football player for the Cowboys. I want to be a big-time player to ever come through the NFL, you know. And I think this is the beginning of the journey, and it's going to be a great start for me to be in this organization and be with Dan Quinn to start this journey up.
On that note, if your defensive teammates were to ask you what can they count on you when you're on the field to do, what would you tell them?
I would say to play 100%. You know, I believe if you got 11 guys that's wanting to play 100% and sacrifice and give their bodies up for, you know, the other 10 or 11, you're going to have a great recipe for success.
For Coach McCarthy, this may be even more a Dan Quinn question than the you question, but I think you could probably speak to it a good bit. He's very similar size-wise to a couple of guys that Coach Quinn has coached in Atlanta as well as in Seattle, Reserve and Vic Beasley, and yet he's even faster than both of them. Can you see using him in that kind of role, that kind of way?
I mean, definitely. I've said it, you know, last night. I'll say it again today. He has the ability to play all three positions on and off the ball. So, you know, it's the conversations Dan and I had this morning as you know, as he was meeting with the defensive staff and as we're starting to plan packages and personnel groups, you know, we just want to get Micah here, get comfortable, get in the room, and really it's going to be more about selecting what we think, you know, not only what he can do but how it fits everybody else, because he, once again, he's a multi-dimensional, multi-positional player for us.
Micah, when you were at Penn State, you talk about the challenges of getting that program back to, you know, on top and an elite level, and you get motivated by trying to do the same with the Cowboys here.
I feel like the Cowboys is already elite, you know. I feel like I'm just adding to the weapons they already have to really make us even better and even more elite. And, you know, I don't think Penn State was ever really down. You know, I just think we just need a little bit of life. And I think I helped give life to Penn State's program, and we got better and better every year. So that's it.
Given some of the character allegations about you ahead of the draft, what do you think is important for fans to know about you now that those charges have been dropped, as you spoke to last night?
You know, obviously false allegations can obviously, you know, how the media portrays things sometimes and makes how things look, and people don't actually really deep dive into the truth. But, you know, truth always comes to light, and I think, you know, these guys did their job in digging into it, and they know that, you know, I'm a high character player in person, and, you know, I'll be a great addition to the team. So, you know, I don't think my man right here will invest someone that he couldn't trust. So, you know, I'm glad to be one of those people he trusts.
Jerry, what are your early, now that you've gotten a chance to meet Michael face-to-face, what are your early impressions of Michael?
Well, I can see that there's a lot of serious love and a lot of connection with his family. And they get mixed, and there's energy here. And they obviously this tremendous day and a tremendous time for him and them. But still, I sure do see a great family here. I saw immediately. I'll never forget. The first time that I met Deion Sanders, and we were out at the old stadium, and he came in to sign his agreement, and he had been in the league for several years. And, boy, we were down in a locker room, and all kinds of people were around that locker room, and all Deion did was stay over there most of the time before we went to the stage and play with his boy. And his boy was over in the locker, and he was showing him the locker and all that kind of stuff. And I thought, my goodness, you can see where he's got his time and attention there. And I think that boy's running up and down the field out here someplace today. But still, I like that, my initial. The other thing is I would ask this. I know the answer, but I'd like to ask Coach. When we were evaluating a lot of the players, we saw him from the interior. We saw him behind the line of scrimmage, able to create unbelievable pressure. And we saw play after play after play of him disrupting from there. In other words, blitzing, but basically pass rushing from the middle of the deal. And the question was, you can't do that in the NFL. And I'm not going to answer your question, but what was our answer when we were talking
about? Well, we were talking about pass rush, the conversation we were into that day. And, you know, and we're going through the defensive ends and the other rushers, the open end. And then really the most impactful pressure player was Micah. And he was doing it from the linebacker position. So the ability to do it both from the inside, because, you know, obviously everybody usually equates pressure, you know, coming off the edge. But and that's what made him so appealing to us, you know, as far as his football skills. So his inside pressure, you know, the stats and the film speaks for itself.
Micah, when you look at Leighton Vander Esch, Jalen Smith, and yourself, what can you guys do together on the field?
Yeah, I brought it up last night. You know, I think Jalen's a terrific player. I think Vander Esch is a terrific player. And I'm just, you know, to start off, I'm just laying off those guys. These guys been here for quite a bit, and, you know, they're really good players, and I'm going to just learn from them. And I think, you know, they're going to take me under their wing and teach me how to become a pro football player and help me get better every day. And we're going to all push each other. And I think once we all come together and we play at elite level, I think this defense can be the best defense in the football league.
As one Penn State linebacker exits, another one enters. Did Sean Lee reach out to you at all?
Yes. You know, I think he said if I ever need anything to ever reach out, and I said, yeah, you got one of the brightest minds in the game of football, and I would love to learn from you, you know. Open source of knowledge that I'm always going to take in from someone who's been there before.
Steven, do you recall Micah's 2019 Cotton Bowl game and your thoughts on the performance he had there?
I didn't see the whole game. I wasn't there, but it was there were, what, 6-7 plays on his highlight, on his point of attack tape that were on there. And, of course, you know, well over 100 tackles that year, and he was all over the place. And actually, Brad Sham chimed in last night with our group saying is one of the most impressive guys he ever did homework, because he was calling the game for you know, for the particular radio show or TV show he was doing at that time. But Micah was a presence. And, you know, you talk about what, you know, what really resonates with me is his confidence. I mean, he's just got a quiet, special confidence about him. And certainly his traits, his elite traits speak for themselves. But, you know, his confidence is, you know, really special.
Where does that confidence come from, you think, Micah?
You know, I just think it's my mindset. I just hate to lose, and I love to win. So, you know, we go anywhere you want, and we could do basketball. We go bowling. We could do whatever, play some chess. I'm going to find a way to beat you. I will never lose every day. And I just think, you know, if you got that mindset and, you know, the proof is in itself, you know, you lose today, you got a new day to wake up tomorrow and win. And
love it. That's a good note to end on here. The Micah Parsons press conference right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. I'll give him extra points for that. I love that he plays basketball and he's bowling. He seems to have, you know, a good athletic profile, not just an athlete. And maybe that does bode well for his upside. We're going to talk to Mike Fisher coming up on the other side of this, get his takeaways from the presser, from what the Cowboys have done and where they go from here. And then we'll continue to get Jeff and Brian's thoughts. Take your thoughts as well on the phone lines and on the text at 877-881-1053. But we're back with Fish next in the Nation. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Thanks to Micah Parsons and the Cowboys for the press conference. We got takeaways from that for you. Plus, we have Mike Fisher. Is he over up there at the Star? I am Gavin Dawson here live in studio 75 and 52 downtown Dallas. And Brian and Jeff are broadcasting from the Star today because it's 6 o'clock. They're going to jump over and do a stream-only draft coverage of rounds 2 and 3. That starts at 6 o'clock at 105thefan.com and on the Odyssey app. And we're now joined by Mike Fisher at Fish Sports on Twitter. How the hell are you, Fish?
Outstanding. That was fun with Micah Parsons. He's fun.
Yes. Won over the media, didn't he?
Yeah, and you got to work your way through the behavioral stuff and the I wasn't found guilty of anything and I didn't do anything. And if that works out for you in terms of your approach to his to being a fan of his, I think we'll be okay.
Okay, what I'm having to work through is the fact that nobody talked to him.
Yeah, this is weirding me out because if I heard that right, he had one Zoom call with the Cowboys to get to know a guy who had off the field questions, and Jerry, Quinn, McCarthy, none of them were part of it?
Except Dan Quinn runs that side of things. So I don't know who all ever talked to him or how much. We know how much research they did because that's what they do when it comes to a behavioral guy. We know that. I'm not surprised that McCarthy wasn't deeply involved because I think that's Dan Quinn's baby. But that does lead to the question of he was really – because I'm told he was top six on their board.
He was.
And when we reported last night that he was the number one guy on their board – defensive guy, and Steven said it, then Jerry like bet me $1,000 that it was true.
You should have came up with that money and gone down the hall.
I'm going so deaf, I didn't really understand what he was saying.
Yeah, he said, you give me $1,000, I'll take you down there.
I thought about swinging over to the bank today and picking up 10 hundies and seeing what he would say. And then I did get a text, as Brian knows, I shared it with him, probably about 11:40, unsolicited, saying, it's true. He was the number one defensive player on our board.
Yeah.
So it's weird that you didn't do the conventional research on him, but I always go back to the Lyle Collins study in Baton Rouge. When there's a guy that they have behavioral issues about, they leave no stone unturned. I believe that.
No, the thing I was wondering is I would just think that my head coach, my defensive coordinator, maybe the defensive coordinator not. I was trying to gauge if – but
so I'm seeing people say that. I didn't notice the Quinn part of it, but I'm seeing people say that they're saying Dan Quinn wasn't part of that either, and that just throws me off.
I was just wondering because, again, if you only had one opportunity to talk and by the way, he's theirs now. He's theirs. So, I mean, I just, again, I'm kind of thinking, and maybe it's so unusual now because of the Zoom stuff and the pandemic and the 30 visits and the lack of this and the lack of that. I just want to believe that if you're making one of these picks, especially with one that's like, you know, it's such a huge one for you, you know, defensively, you know, it's an investment, it's all that stuff. I just wondered why, you know, I think I would want to have all hands on deck. But there's some teams that drafted where they hid where they were going with their players. I mean, Denver talks about, you know, that with Sertan. They didn't tell anybody they were Zoom talking with him. They didn't add people and stuff. So maybe this is their way of operating. It's just so different for me from – and, again, that's Krusty's corner right there, because I'm so used to going and picking him up at the airport, riding in a car with him,
yep.
having a meal. Oh, here's your position coach. Oh, here's the head coach. Oh, here's the – and maybe you just can't do that anymore, Mike. Maybe you just can't do that.
Speaking of convoluted, the investigation of trading up to 6 is convoluted. Number one, the Cowboys absolutely called Miami at 6 last night. 100%.
So that would have been, according to them, for Parsons.
Except that I'm not sure.
Except that when the corners were gone, they traded down and didn't take Parsons.
So is it possible, and we've seen this happen in their room on the board before, where they have this guy ranked way up here, but they end up looking at that guy. Yeah. It's happened a lot here. It's a weird way to do it, Brian Broaddus. That's a weird way.
Yeah, you're dragging me into this, but I'm going to go opposite of you, Mike, because I asked somebody in the organization that would know, and the guy might be blatantly lying to me. It's happened before in my life. I just get used to it. He told me we absolutely did not call up or try to trade up.
Okay, I believe that your guy means it was never serious, because the guy in Miami, Greer, is saying we got calls, but nothing serious. So let's call it an exploratory, kick it around concept. And the reason I believe it all the more is because then here comes Detroit looking for, as Brian said yesterday on our show, they want a tough guy. Well, there was two tough guys sitting right there that fit him, Sewell, who they end up getting, and this guy. So maybe the Cowboys looked at it and said, oh, they're taking Sewell. Now we don't have to worry. We don't have to make any calls. We don't have to worry about it, because it's still going to come to us. And we love the cornerbacks. And I guess we love this guy too.
Yeah, I think it's lying time after they make their picks and they get up there, and we know it's lying time in the build-up to draft, and then afterwards they just continue on with the theme. I remember when they told us Mo Claiborne was the highest-rated corner since Deion. You know, it is time to hype these guys and make them feel stoked to be Cowboys and convince the fan base that you got the next star player.
And listen, General, before anybody says, oh, Fish, you homer, you back pocket boy for Jerry, I'm the one that stood – I mean, I sat there and laughed at him on live TV and radio. Last night,
you say that every year, Jerry.
You guys say it every year. Yeah. And they do say it every year. Yeah. It might date all the way back to Russell, Maryland. Well, the number one guy. No disrespect to Russell, Maryland. It is part of what they do, but the convoluted nature is even more fascinating to me.
Yeah, it pops up some inconsistencies, I think, and makes us a little bit more concerned. But I think they're more concerned with what's in the headlines and the quotes and in there and creating a little bit of hype around their first-round pick. So I understand. You know, sometimes in this business, you have must-lie situations, Fish.
Now we turn it to our attention to what Kavanaugh and Broaddus do better, not just anybody in the DFW market, but in the country. Now we start getting into the non-first-round guys where, you know, I know how to pronounce Levi, but I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name.
Onsrike, I believe.
Yep. Okay. Jeffrey, you did this last night on Twitter. You came up with, I think, five defensive back names. Okay? And then in putting together my look at your boards and my talking around a little bit, there's 10 great names still sitting here. A couple of defensive pass rushers, couple inside defensive linemen. I've eliminated linebackers here. There's two safeties who can absolutely play. You could trade up for Trevor Merrick here of TCU or sit there at 44 and take Holland, who they like very much.
And on mine and Jeff's board, though, Grant from Central Florida would be the guy. I mean, we wish they could, but that's on our board. They probably with Holland and Merrick and those guys would be where they would probably go.
This show has told me that they don't love Grant very much around here.
Yeah, this is the thing that I think that's why
that
they
means they're going to pick him.
That's exactly right. They absolutely don't care what Jeff and I say at all, and we're learning that, by the way.
Or
so,
they do.
Yeah. So, but the thing about it is, they, you know, there are names. You're absolutely right. They, you know, they've worked their way around. They've got, you know, 4 quality picks tonight. You know, I'm excited for them. I really am. When I look at my board, and I know Jeff's looking at his board too, Mike. There are names. I mean, there are names that could come in here and absolutely make a difference for this football team in the coming years.
Okay. Merrick, Holland, JOK.
He's got a little bit of a medical condition we're dealing with right now.
Okay. The other defensive end, pass rusher with a little, because he might have a little knee.
Ojulari.
Okay. Ojulari.
But you guys both thought he was a first round talent, right?
He is.
Yeah.
And there he sits at 44. What the heck?
Yeah.
Basham somewhere. Yeah. Levi somewhere.
Yeah.
Barmore, who needs a babysitter, Brian?
I think so.
Okay, but he's got talent.
Absolutely does.
You babysit those guys.
Yeah, I'll drive him to the Star every day if he helps him win games.
Molden, Samuel, and Joseph.
Okay,
there's 10 guys.
Yeah, the problem with the Samuels and the Moldens and those guys, and maybe with the Molden because they went out there with they have a plan for a guy like that. I think they're going to go for some guys with some length. Jeff and I were talking about that. Campbell, Robinson, Joseph, those guys, Melifonwu.
Yeah.
Adebo.
Stanford corner.
Stanford corner. Those guys, I think, are who they would be looking at.
Okay, so that, we just did 15 names that we'd all go, oh, that's fine. And they draft in the 44 slot.
Sure.
So I say this every year, and now we're going to do it with every round that piles up. Let the cake bake. The draft didn't end last night.
Oh, no, you got four picks
today. It just started.
This is a party.
If it did, I shouldn't be here.
Yeah. So if they come away after tonight going, well, first-round guy was their sixth overall pick, and then they go bang, 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 bang,
well,
then this is going to be a party.
Yeah, this is the thing. And you hope that night two that they do, that they hit four guys, and then the talk is about, okay, look what you added to the linebacker. And then the narrative turns away from – you know, the things, the questions about Parsons and stuff like that.
If you come away with a cornerback and a safety here soon, then your defense looks different. I asked the question, by the way, last night. Finally, I'll say this. I asked the question poorly to Steven, but I still think we're onto something. I'm packaging picks here in the next couple of days.
I'm picking all four.
Okay. I'm not. I'm seeing, like Merrick, I'm going up and he's not going to be there at 44. I'm not sure why he's still laying out there. But I go get him. That's a difference maker.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most interesting conversations in football right now. Because on average, if you trade up, you lose. Unless you're going up for a quarterback.
Because you give up two darts for one dart.
Correct.
Yeah.
And you're you're being overconfident in your evaluation of this guy versus the next guy. And so that is one of the latest sort of analytical things, is moving down is better than moving up the vast majority of the time. But that doesn't mean you'll never be right.
The problem is when you go up in the second round, people are going to hold you up, because what happens is they've sat on their board the whole night and they're looking at that board and they're saying, look at the tags we have left. Oh, we got Ojulari up there. Oh, we've got Koromora up there. Oh, we've got Barmore up there. Oh, we've got, you know, this guy, that guy, and the other. And so all of a sudden, when you try and get in, they're like, listen, yeah, we'll let you back in, but instead of this pick, give us this pick and this pick. So you have to determine, you know, where's the point that you want to get back in, and will somebody let you back in?
We just got done with Micah Parsons and heard him say, you know, and Brian, you've seen this a lot. These kids think Jerry Jones is a rock star.
Oh, yeah.
It's the most exciting day of their life to meet Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Forget
that was cool.
Signing with
Try
the
work for him. Yeah. He's fun. Yeah. Yeah.
And then I did ask him the question about number 11, which he clearly wants. And because I think the negotiations have begun with Cedric Wilson.
Yeah.
Putting number 16 out like on social media. But then Jerry, he's Micah gives a good answer. You know, we're going to talk about it. And Jerry looks right at me and goes, what negotiation?
Well, that is so Cowboys. You're like, yeah, we have a veteran player that has a jersey number, but we picked this guy high. He gets it.
I had a guy today on this subject, but much more say, jokingly, but it's true, this number change thing, he goes, it's going to be a S storm.
But what if the situation, and we did a story on this, I think General did in around the NFL, was about the numbers and guys having to pay millions of dollars to get out of it.
If you want to get out of your expensive jersey, but like even the switching of jerseys now, there's going to be, you know, you're going to have to pay some other guy on the team $25,000.
How many Cedric Wilsons are out there that Mike has got to buy off the rack? You think that I don't think that's $2.5 million. I think that's like $30,000. It's like, well, we got 40 of them.
You know? All I know is our friends back there in the equipment room with their sewing machines are going to get ready to work.
They're ready to go.
Got
to
run, Fish. Great report. We'll catch up with you Monday. Have a great draft. There is. He's at Fish Sports on Twitter. A must follow for Cowboys fans everywhere. What do you guys think at 877-881-1053? What do you think about what they did last night? We want your calls, especially if you can be fascinating. And your text as well. Please leave your name and city you're texting from. And we do have about a half dozen takeaways from the Parsons presser to pass along for you as well. Observations next in the Nation.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.